Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. The Fairbanks City Council holds a public hearing tonight as it considers final approval of a proposed ordinance that would limit the number of marijuana stores in town to 12. Mayor Jim Matherly, who introduced the ordinance last month, says he wants to establish a limit on the number of retail cannabis shops based on population, similar to how the city and state issue permits for alcohol-related establishments. The mayor says his proposal to limit the city to a dozen shops is meant as a starting point for the council to consider. The meeting is tonight at 7 at City Hall. Alaska Congressman Don Young argued against gun control at a conference in Juneau last week. Alaska Public Media reports that Young suggested Jews might not have died in the Holocaust if they had been armed.
How many millions of people were shot and killed because they were unarmed? 50 million in Russia because their citizens weren't armed. How many Jews were put into the ovens because they were unarmed?
The recording was provided by Dimitri Shane, an Anchorage Democrat who is running for Young's seat and was in the audience for Young's speech to the Alaska Municipal League. Shane asked Young about school safety, which prompted Young's comments about the Holocaust. The argument that gun control allowed the rise of Hitler has circulated among gun rights advocates for years. A 1938 Nazi law prohibited Jews from owning weapons, but there were numerous instances of armed Jewish resistance during the war. The Anti-Defamation League says it's ludicrous to claim Germany's Jews could have stopped the Third Reich with personal firearms. Congressman Young is a longtime board member of the National Rifle Association. He said last week he favors allowing teachers to carry firearms. Livestock and wildlife diseases are increasingly showing up in Alaska due to climate warming and other factors. That was the message from state veterinarian Dr. Bob Gerlach at the 46th annual Delta Farm Forum over the weekend. KUAC's Tim Ellis reports.
Gerlach says Alaska's cool climate and isolated location has for millennia helped protect wildlife and the people who subsist on it from many of the diseases that thrive in warmer, lower latitudes. Diseases that periodically cull large numbers of wildlife species that live there. But he says that's changing.
We're not isolated from what's going on in the world. We're in a center of a lot of what's going on.
Gerlach says diseases are now hitchhiking into Alaska through global commerce that brings livestock and other agricultural products here, as well as travelers, newcomers that bring their household pets, and wildlife species that are slowly moving north as temperatures increase here and worldwide.
Globalization is just not moving food. It's moving animals, it's moving products, and it's moving disease.
Gerlach told about 100 farmers and others at the event at Delta Junction High School that they need to be alert for any signs of the diseases showing up in their livestock. And he says they also need to be aware of the health of wildlife species that live or range around their farms or ranches, because wildlife is a major source of many of the diseases that can pose a threat to both animals and humans.
We're seeing some things that we've never seen in the past. And not just in isolated areas, but they're all over and reaching up here in the state.
The main vector for most of those emerging diseases is ticks. Gerlach says different species of ticks have been showing up in recent years around Alaska, apparently because they, like their hosts, are now able to live and even thrive in the warmer climate that's set in around the circumpolar north.
So the fact that it's up in those areas that used to be way too cold for it means it's adapting to those areas, and it means that we're at risk for those things here.
Gerlach says researchers have identified 5 new species of the parasites in Alaska. They include the Pacific black-legged tick, the Lone Star tick, the American dog tick, and the brown tick. Each can carry bacteria or viruses that can sicken wildlife and domesticated animals and humans with Lyme's disease, Rocky Mountain spotted fever, bovine anaplasmosis, blue tongue disease, or Mycoplasma ovipneumonia.
Introduced ticks don't have just impact on one animal, but it has impact on a lot of different species when they move up here.
Gerlach says the winter moose tick and the chronic wasting disease it can transmit is at the top of the list of concerns. That's why the State Wildlife Veterinarian's Office spent months last year investigating the sighting of a mule deer near North Pole, because that's one of the moose tick's favorite hosts.
This is one that Fish and Game is extremely worried about, is this winter tick or the winter moose tick. And the reason is it's been spreading throughout Canada It affects just not moose, but any other ungulate. So black-tailed deer, caribou, or whatever.
Gerlach says as the number of farms in Alaska increases, so too will the chances of disease transmission from wildlife to livestock. And he says as Alaskans grow more food locally, both for their consumption and for sale, they must maintain high standards to protect public health. He cites the case of a child in Fairbanks who contracted salmonella 2 years ago by handling a chick.
So that does put a risk out for someone who's selling product from their coop in their backyards. It's something to think about.
Gerlach urged farmers to contact his office if they suspect their animals or wildlife on the other side of the fence are diseased. In Delta, I'm Tim Ellis.
The long-term effects of climate change and rising sea levels are a focus of the Sydney Chapman Lecture Series this week at the University of Alaska Fairbanks. As QAC's Robert Hannon reports, some of the expected melting of Antarctic ice sheets will have surprising outcomes for Alaska.
Martin Trufer is a physicist at UAF's Geophysical Institute. He's participating in the Chapman Lecture Series this week at UAF. His discipline focuses on glaciers and ice sheets. And he says in the past several decades, computer models have grown increasingly sophisticated at describing the physical dynamics at play with rising temperatures and melting ice. But unknowns remain. One recently announced study by the National Science Foundation looks at an especially vulnerable ice sheet in Antarctica.
Actually, it has every sign of being in a catastrophic retreat already. But we have a really hard time with coming up with how quickly could this we really don't have a good worst-case scenario.
Trufer says there's about 5 feet of global sea level locked up in that ice sheet, so a lot is at stake. But he admits the biggest unknown buried in any future prediction remains us.
And the variability is not the uncertainty in the ice models. The variability is the uncertainty in how much fossil fuels we're going to burn.
Trufer says Alaskans and coastal communities should pay attention to research in the South Pole. As counterintuitive as it sounds, they may see the greatest rise in sea levels. Trufer explains that locally, freed from the weight of the ice sheet, the land springs up relative to the ocean level. Secondly, he says, there's gravity.
If you have a large mass of ice, that ice actually exerts a gravitational attraction to the water. If you take that ice sheet away, that gravitational attraction goes away, and then the water recedes away from that. But it has to go somewhere, so it goes essentially, you could think, as far as possible.
Trufer says gatherings such as the Chapman Lecture Series this week at UAF help researchers and grad students informally exchange ideas, improving understanding and building better models. The lecture series begins today, continues Wednesday, and wraps up Friday. In Fairbanks, I'm Robert Hannon.
Dozens of cyclists and runners, plus a couple of skiers, have taken to the Iditarod Trail for endurance races. The Iditarod Trail Invitational includes 130-mile, 350-mile, and 1,000-mile events, which began yesterday in Kinnick. I'm Dan Bross.